Hello, Judy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you very much. I did receive the envelope.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you did.
Very much appreciated.
Oh, that's okay. It was a privilege to be able to do that for you.
Thank you.
Hope you're feeling okay.
I'm a bit tired today, but
yeah,
I was up early with the baby and just been running all day.
Yeah, is Monday a long day for you?
Yeah, normally I have a class that starts at 5, and then this last class, so I drive 2 hours before to get to my middle class. And then I drive 2 hours after this class to get home. So it's a long day.
Yeah. I enjoyed the 5 o'clock class you had. It was a good class.
I'm glad you did. It is a good class.
It was. I learned a lot from it.
Yeah, it's important material that people don't really understand. And it helps remove the chaos if you understand what the system is.
Yeah, it's just seeing it from a different perspective, you know. Just never heard it, you know, taught that way. It was very, very enlightening. I really enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad you did.
Yeah. I enjoy most of your classes are really enlightening. I really enjoy all your classes. If I can't go to most of them, I do hear your recordings as much as I can, you know.
I understand. Well, why don't we get started? I'm sure there'll be some that will join us in a few minutes.
All right.
Please join me in saying the Ana Bakoach.
All right.
Ana Bakoach. Do not
speak.
The sequence Yud Kaf Shin can be utilized to take our body parts that need healing back to their stem cell state, where they can be cleansed, where they can be rejuvenated, where they can be healed back into their pristine state. And then we can return them back to the body, where they will do their work in that pristine state, where they are totally healed, totally restored. Barchem tacharem tachamei zidkaka tami tam tetetresh tzadikam chasin kadosh derov tu Yachid This is the sequence for the month of Elul. the letters of the month of Elul, the resh, that has two sounds to it. The resh that created the planet Mercury, the planet Kohav. The resh that can be either the rosh, the head, or the resh, the poor person. And the Yud. The Yud is the first letter of the Tetragrammaton. The Yud represents Hashem. The Rosh or the Resh is the poor person. The head is the Keter. The Yud is the fulfillment of both vessels. Resh and Yud have a gematria of 210, which is the Hebrew word radu, to go down. And this is Hashem coming down, getting closer to the physical world. The metaphor is being in the garden, where he's not behind all his secretaries and his assistants and his guards, where we have difficulty getting to him. But in the garden, we can just walk up to Hashem. And that's the idea of coming down, getting closer to Hashem. That's the idea of going into the garden, where we can ask for information about what we need to do in Teshuvah about. This is the sixth verse. This is the energy of the virgin, of the purity that is represented by Hashem being in the garden. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakat minu ode shinkufav kadiyot. And we say the verse from Samuel Betts, the verse that we can manifest peace in our lives, peace in the world, the potential for peace that exists in the year of 5774, which will be starting in a month, that we can prepare for, that we can modify ourselves so that peace will have been earned. And it will manifest in the year 5774. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own, and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as at the first. And may we all say, Amen.
Amen.
I'm now going to read from the Zohar, from section 2, the four deaths of Samuel. I'm reading verse 4. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunene aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenehu. Nar teka zecharba Adonai tayaman ishtakach. Bina bekriyat shema yedovad harba bekutsha barichu. Ala itbar romimot. El bigronam becharev. Pifiot biadam Tzadik Chai Almin. Kalil Chai Birkan Deve Adonai Shifatai Tifta Ufi Be Al Harba Benar Tika Vechamat Hamelech Shikaka Umit Chabarin Tiren Shimchan Yahadova Nahi. The sheath of the sword, the container where the sword is hidden, is the name Adonai. There in Adonai, the letters of judgment are found, since in Adonai are the letters Aleph and Din. Din means judgment. Din is spelled Dalet Nun. Adonai is Aleph, Dalet Nun, and a Yud at the end. Since in Adonai are the letters Aleph and Din, in the reading of Shema is the secret meaning of Yud Heh Vav Heh, that is the sword of the Holy One, blessed be He. As mentioned above, about it, it is written, the high praises of Elohim in their throat, and a two-edged sword in their hand. As was explained above, in the righteous, the life of the world, are included all the 18 blessings, meaning that through the righteous yesod of Zeranpin is accomplished the union of Zeranpin and Malchut, of greatness, which is the secret of the 18 blessings in the Amidah prayer. In it, Adonai, my lips open and my mouth. My mouth means that yesod opens Malchut, which is called Adonai. In it, in yesod, the sword enters into its sheath. That is the meaning of the union of Yud Heh Vav Heh with Adonai that is accomplished through Yesod. Then the king's wrath was pacified. Because the Klipot were consumed by the unification of the reading of Shema, now by the Amidah prayer, they no longer have a hold, and the anger subsides. The two names are joined, Yud Aleph Heh Dalet Vav Nun Heh Yud, which is the integration of the two names, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and Aleph-Dalet-Nun-Yud, Adonai. This is a very powerful verse. Whenever we say the Shema, we are saying Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, but we say it as Adonai. So we're integrating these eight letters into a tsuruf, an intertwining. And in the course of that intertwining, we are taking the spiritual level and integrating it with the physical level and unifying the physical and the spiritual together. And this verse in the Zohar is also speaking about sexual unification, about the sword, meaning the male member, opening the flower, opening the vagina. All of this is being expressed. Many different levels are being taught, all about unification. Does anybody have any questions? Last week, we went through section 20, or through section 19. We stopped at section 20. But I'm going to, before I forget, I'm going to remind you that this is available on the Revealed Wisdom page of the Yeshem website. The handout is available in the matrix that's at the bottom of the page, not the bottom, but toward scrolling down a few inches. And that matrix in the second column from the left is the advanced classes. And the ninth row is the Esther Sefirot classes. This is class number 3. And there is a handout for this class. starts at section 19 and goes through section 46, although I only expect to go through maybe section 30 today. And that's all I brought with me. I'm starting at section 19 to make continuity with last week's class. Continuing from last class, section 19, through all that has been explained thus far, I have removed a great complaint about the words of Rabbi Chaim Vital in this introduction to Shaar HaKdamot, the Gate of Introductions, by the Ari, and the introductions to the Tree of Life. He writes there, indeed, one should not say, I shall go and engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah, before he engages in the Torah, in the Mishnah, and in the Talmud, or the Gemara. This is because our sages have already said, one should not enter the Pardes unless he has filled his stomach with meat and wine. This is like a soul without a body. It has no reward or act or consideration before it is connected in a body. When it is whole, corrected in the mitzvot of the Torah, in the 613 mitzvot. Conversely, when one is occupied with the wisdom of the Mishnah and the Babylonian Talmud and does not give a share to the secrets of Torah and its concealments as well, it is like a body that sits in the dark without a human soul, God's candle which shines within it. Thus the body is dry and does not draw from a source of thought of life. Thus a wise disciple who practices Torah Lishma should first engage in the wisdom of the Bible, the Mishnah, and the Talmud, and the Gemara, as long as his mind can tolerate. Afterwards, he will delve into knowing his Maker in the wisdom of truth. It is as King David commanded his son Solomon, know thou the God of thy father and serve him. And if that person finds the study of the Talmud heavy and difficult, he is better off leaving his hand off it once he has tested his luck in this wisdom, and engage in the wisdom of truth. It is written, a disciple who has not seen a good sign in his study within 5 years will also not see it. Thus, every person whose study is easy must dedicate a portion of 1 or 2 hours a day to study the halakha, the Jewish code of laws, and explain and interpret the questions in the literal halakha. Before I read my commentary, I kind of want to give this perspective to you. Early in this Hakdamah, Rabbi Ashlag is explaining that for centuries, people have studied the Torah itself, and they have studied the Talmud. But they have been kept away from studying the Zohar, the Kabbalah, because the rabbis have said, fill yourself up with meat and wine first. Learn the Torah. Learn the Talmud. And when you know that, then you can study the secrets. Why did they do that? Were they wrong in doing that? And Rabbi Ashlag is saying, they also said, if when you study the wine and meat, and you do this for 5 years, and another rabbi said 3 years, if you do this for 3 to 5 years, and you don't find that your life is chaos-free, that your life has become better, that your desire for these selfish things has not diminished. Rabbi Ashlag is saying that the rabbi has said that it will never happen. And so stop wasting your time. Start studying the sod, the secrets, the Kabbalah. Because through the study of the Kabbalah, these other things will be studied. These other things will begin to make sense to you. These other things will cause the wine and the meat to be pleasant to you and to assist you. And if in the study of the secrets you find it easy and that your life has gotten easier, then spend some hours studying the halakha. Take the time to see how the halakha and the secrets, the Zohar, the Sod, how they integrate and how they are really one and the same. This is a difficult level of study. Not everybody can reach this level of study. But that's what the rabbis are saying now. Now that they've been told so many people are starting to study Kabbalah, and the statement, don't study it until you know the Talmud, doesn't work anymore because the people don't know Hebrew. They're not going to take the time to learn Hebrew and then study the Talmud before they study the Zohar. Because they are losing parishioners. So they're saying now, you cannot study Sod without studying Halakha. And Rabbi Ashlag is saying, if it's easy for you to study secrets, Sod, if your life has gotten better, then also study these other levels. But if your life is still and you're in the first 3 to 5 years and your life has not yet become better, just study the secrets. Just study the Kabbalah. My commentary that's written, this is why when I am asked what to study, I recommend the book called Chok Yisrael. This is a series of daily study that's created by the Arizal. It takes less than an hour a day, except on Friday, which can be completed on Shabbat. So it includes all 10 levels of the Torah. The 10 levels are the 5 books of Moses, the prophets, the writings, the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Zohar, the Halakha, Rashi's commentary, the ethical teachings from the book Sefer Chassadim, the book of mercy, and the level of the Musar, which is not included in Chok Yisrael, but is the 10th level. Here is the website for the online source of Chok Yisrael. It's free. You don't have to buy any books. You can study it. Every day, there's a different section. Over the course of the 7 days of the week, you will receive the full course of study that someone is supposed to do. Do you have to truly study it in the context of what you're used to in the Western world of going to a college or a university or a high school, listening to a lecture, and then being tested on it later? That's not the kind of study we're talking about. The kind of study we're talking about is, can you read Hebrew? Then read the Hebrew. If you can't read Hebrew, scan the Hebrew. You want to understand what you're reading? Then read the English translations. Study and reading are the same things when it comes to Torah. Section 20. These words of his seem very perplexing. He is saying that before one succeeds in the study of the literal, one should already engage in the wisdom of truth. This contradicts his former words, that the wisdom of Kabbalah without the literal Torah is as a soul without a body, having no deed, no consideration, and no reward. The evidence he brings of a disciple who did not see a good sign, and is even more perplexing, for our sages said that he should therefore abandon the study of Torah. But certainly it is to caution him to examine his ways and try with another Rav or in another portion. But he must certainly not leave the study of the Torah, even the literal Torah. I have met many people over these last 20 years that I have been studying Zohar, studying the Kabbalah, and teaching the Kabbalah. And I have met people who say, I can study Torah, but I can't pray. And I have met people who say, I am praying, I don't need to study. And I have met other people, I have a business to run. I don't have the time to do all of this that you do. And earlier today we had a basic class where we spoke about how nothing happens in the physical world without a spiritual cause. So to the businessman who says, I don't have time to study, the response is, your business comes because you study. You don't have to work 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. You can own a store, and one customer can come in and in 15 minutes buy your whole day's sales. You don't have to be standing in the store the whole day. As you learn to correct your life through the study of the wisdom, you will find that you can work less hours and receive the same remuneration because you are doing the study. Don't believe a word I say, but try what I suggest. I'm not telling you go quit your job, but I'm saying start to scan the Zohar. Start to say the Ana B'Koach every day. And then start to expand the amount of time you spend in the Zohar study. And you will find that your need for spending hours in your business, hours working for small wages, will change. My commentary to Rabbi Ashlag in section 20. Remember the questions Rabbi Ashlag asked early in this discussion? These questions were really excuses for not studying Kabbalah. This section and the section below it, number 21, are teaching us that there is no reason to not study Kabbalah. Not only that, but it is absolutely necessary to study Kabbalah. Yet remember, there is no coercion in spirituality. Whenever we say to someone, you must study Kabbalah, we are attempting to take away their free choice. This is a true mistake that most beginners make. I've made this mistake. I've done tshuva for this mistake. The reason that we make this mistake is due to the idea that my truth must be your truth. Eventually, those with the merit will study Kabbalah, and others will need to experience the Armageddon War, Chas v'Shalom. The process will do itself properly. It's not up to up to us to change it. What is up to us is to change ourselves. And then people will see the change in us and will ask, "You're different. Did you change your hair? Why are you so happy?" All these different questions that happen to the people who study the Kabbalah. And as you change yourself, you reveal more light, and this light is sensed by the people around you. Some of them will move away from you because your light is too strong. Others will move closer to you and start to study with you, and because of your light, cause and effect. Change yourself. Other people will notice. Then they will have free choice. Try to change them, and you do a disservice. Section 21. It is even more difficult to understand, both in the words of Rabbi Chaim Vital and the words of the Gemara. It is implied in their words that one needs some specific preparation and merit to attain the wisdom of Torah. Yet our sages said in Midrash Rabbah, in the portion, and this is the blessing, the Creator said unto Israel, "Regard, the whole wisdom and the whole Torah is easy. Anyone who fears me and observes the words of the Torah, the whole wisdom and the whole Torah are in his heart." Thus we need no prior merit here, and only by virtue of fear or awe of Hashem and the keeping of the mitzvot is one granted this whole wisdom of the Torah. Please see my commentary above in section 20 and below in section 22. Here is section 22. Indeed, if we examine his words, they will clarify before us as pure heavenly stars. The text, he is better off leaving his hand off it once he has tested his luck in this revealed wisdom, does not refer to luck. This word actually is lack, with a typo. And has tested his lack in this revealed wisdom, does not of wit and erudition. Rather, it is as if we have explained above in the explanation. I have created the evil inclination. I have created for it the spice of Torah. It means that one has delved and exerted in the revealed Torah, and still the evil inclination is in power and has not melted at all. This is because he is still not saved from thoughts of transgression. As Rashi writes above in the explanation, I have created for it the spice of Torah. Hence he advises him to leave his hands off it and engage in the wisdom of truth, for it is easier to draw the light in the Torah while practicing and laboring in the wisdom of truth than in laboring in the literal Torah. The reason is very simple. The wisdom of the revealed is clothed in external corporeal clothing, such as stealing, plundering, torts, and other stories that are in the Torah. For this reason, it is difficult and heavy for any person to tame his mind and heart to the Creator while he is studying, so as to draw the light in the Torah. It is even more so for a person for whom the study in the Talmud itself is heavy and arduous. How can he remember the Creator Creator during the study, since the scrutiny concerns corporeal matters and cannot come in him simultaneously with the intention of the Creator. Therefore, he advises him to practice the wisdom of Kabbalah, as this wisdom is entirely clothed in the names of the Creator. Then he will certainly be able to easily aim his mind and his heart to the Creator during the study. Even if he is the slowest learner, this is so because the study of the issues of the wisdom and the Creator are one and the same, and this is very simple. When you study Talmud, you study laws. You go to law school, and it's not easy. Yes, there are stories in the Talmud, but the true study of the Talmud is about the laws, and the laws are heavy and difficult to follow, and it's difficult to keep your mind on the Creator when you're following and talking about torts. When A's ox gored B's ox, and ox C fell into the pit that was owned by D. This kind of material is what the Talmud is teaching, what the Torah is teaching, because this is the clothing for the Torah. But when you study the Kabbalah, you chant names of God. And when you chant names of God, you're keeping your mind on God. And the study of the names of God and the study of God is the same thing. And this is why the Kabbalah is easier to study in our generation. My commentary for section 22. Rabbi Ashlag is using code words like the wisdom of truth instead of saying outright Kabbalah. He eventually does use the word Kabbalah. This assumes that the translation is accurate, which I truly doubt. Rabbi Ashlag is giving a tremendous hint here. All of the tools of Kabbalah relate to Hebrew letters, and every Hebrew letter is a name of God. And every accumulation of a Hebrew letter is a name of God, meaning every combination of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters becomes words, and they are also names of God. And this also implies to the building blocks of creation that science is using. Atoms into molecules, that language of science, into larger molecules, into cells, into multicellular organisms. This is because each combination of atoms or cells is a combination of Hebrew letters. Understand this well. Learn this well. Know this well. Be wise in this knowledge. Section 23. Hence, he brings good evidence from the words of the Gemara. A disciple who has not seen a good sign in his study after 5 years will also not see it ever, because this particular person has klipot that keeps him from remembering God when he studies the Torah. Why did he not see a good sign in the study in the 5 years? Certainly it is only due to the absence of the intention of his heart, and not because of any lack of aptitude, as the wisdom of Torah requires no aptitude. Instead, as it is written in the above study, the Creator said unto Israel, regard the whole wisdom, and the whole Torah is easy. Anyone who fears me and observes the words of the Torah, the whole wisdom and the whole Torah are in his heart. Of course, one must accustom oneself to the light of Torah and the light of the mitzvot, and I do not know how much. One might remain in waiting all his years. Hence the Baraita warns us to not wait longer than 5 years. Moreover, Rabbi Yossi says that the only 3 years are quite sufficient to be granted the wisdom of the Torah. If one does not see a good sign within that length of time, one should not fool himself with false hopes and deceit, but know that he will never see a good sign. Hence, one must immediately find himself a good tactic by which to succeed in achieving Lishma and to be granted the wisdom of the Torah. The Baraita did not specify the tactic, but it warns us to not remain seated in the same situation and wait longer. This is the meaning of the Rav's words, that the surest and most successful tactic is the engagement in the wisdom of Kabbalah. One should leave one's hands entirely from the engagement in the wisdom of the revealed Torah, since he has already tested his luck in it and did not succeed. And he should dedicate all his time to the wisdom of Kabbalah, where his success is certain. I have different teachers that teach different things, saying people cannot understand the way the Kabbalah teaches. It jumps from stories. It jumps to names of God and back and forth. Rabbi Ashlag is telling us, no, there's no jumping around here. There's no merit to learn Kabbalah. What is the merit? Is you have the desire. You have the desire to be in awe of the Creator. You're not yet in awe of the Creator. And I have taught people who are not connected to the Creator at all. They will tell you they're agnostic. They will tell you that there is no God, Chas v'Shalom. They will sell you many different things, but the Kabbalah works for them. It changes them because it's names of God, even if they don't know it. They're being changed by the names of God. My commentary. One of my teachers, who is not a student of Rabbi Ashlag, teaches there are great rabbis in all the generations who did not have the ability to study Kabbalah. This rabbi says this is because the person cannot break away from his need to think logically, which is the way that the Gemara is taught. It's taught today. And to some people, over the centuries, the Gemara was always taught in a logical way. Actually, these two teachings may seem to be in conflict, yet they are not. In certain lifetimes, one has to have earned the merit to learn Kabbalah, and yet I said above that you don't need merit. The merit you do need is the desire to want to be closer to the Creator, the desire to want to have awe of the Creator. If there's no God, but my life is a shambles, I'll still read the letters. I'll still scan the letters, and it will work. Because even though I say there is no God, the fact that I scan the letters has said, I've reached the point where I have no other choice. And even though I don't want to admit it to myself or to the world, there's a sense of awe that is created by scanning the letters. This has been true until the generations after the Ari. As Rabbi Ashlag teaches, in our generation, it takes no exceptional merit to study Zohar. Everyone needs to study Zohar. Rabbi Ashlag is saying everyone needs to start study with Talmud. If after 3 to 5 years they are still troubled by the Satan, then they need to give up the study of Talmud and start the study of Zohar. Now, the study of the Zohar will break the klipot that has grown so thick that only with this light of wisdom called wisdom of truth or Kabbalah can all the secrets of all of the Torah be revealed. Section 24. This is very simple. For these words have no connection to the study of the literal Torah in anything that one must actually practice. For it is not the ignorant who is pious, and a mistaken learning makes for evil, and one sinner destroyeth much good. Hence one must necessarily repeat them, as much as it is necessary to not fail in one's practice. However, here it speaks only of the study of the wisdom of the revealed Torah, to explain and scrutinize questions that arise in the interpretation of the laws, as Rabbi Chaim Vital deduces there. It refers to the part of the study of the Torah that is not performed de facto, or to the actual laws. Indeed, here it is possible to be lenient and study from the abbreviations and not from the origins. However, this too requires extensive learning, since one who knows from the origin is not like one who knows it from a brief scan of some abbreviation. In order to not err in that, Rabbi Chaim Vital says at the very outset of his words that the soul connects to the body only when it is corrected in the mitzvot of the Torah, in all 613 mitzvot. My commentary. This section seems to be confusing. What is the literal Torah? It is explained as the written and oral laws of the Torah, which are the Tanakh and the Talmud. It is also confusing because Rabbi Ashlag is bringing teachings from the Talmud and the Zohar that people are not familiar with. In the Talmud, it teaches that one must be careful to not make mistakes in pronunciation and other types of minutia. In the Zohar, it teaches that when we make words from the first letters of words within phrases or verses or paragraphs, these are also names of God, and we do not have to be so careful in the pronunciation and minutia. Yet Rabbi Ashlag is saying that it takes tremendous effort to study this material as well. In the land of Israel for the last few hundred years, there have been yeshivot, schools committed to study the Zohar and the writings of Rabbi Chaim Vital and the teachings of the Ari. The method of study is memorization, without the expectation that one will understand what one has memorized. It is good when one does understand, but it is not necessary, they teach. Rabbi Ashlag is speaking from this reasoning about memorizing these names made from the first or the second, the last, or any other letters, as related above. Now, it would be helpful to you to reread this section with this understanding. I am going to paste it here again. I also want to mention one thing, or reinforce one thing. In some of my classes, when I read the Zohar, I mispronounce the word in the Aramaic. And I then go back and correct that word. And I say to you, as a teacher to a student, when I changed this pronunciation of the word to the correct pronunciation, I am correcting myself. And I am correcting every person who hears me on some level, to some degree. So I'm not saying it's not important to pronounce the words properly. But if you don't pronounce them properly, it doesn't mean you're going to remain in darkness and chaos. It means that the light is being revealed and that the effort that you will take to actually correct this little bit of sound is worthwhile doing. But if you don't worry about it. We're rereading section 24 a second time. This is very simple, for these words have no connection to the study of the literal Torah. In anything that one must actually practice, for it is not the ignorant who are pious, and a mistaken learning makes for evil, and one sinner destroyeth much good. These are verses from the sages, from the Talmud, from Psalms, from Proverbs. Hence, one must necessarily repeat them as much as it is necessary to not fail in one's practice, talking about the study of Talmud. However, here it speaks only of the study of the wisdom of the revealed Torah to explain and scrutinize questions that arise in the interpretation of the laws. As Rabbi Chaim Vital deduces there himself, it refers to the part of the study of the Torah that is not performed de facto, or to the actual laws. Indeed, here it is possible to be lenient and study from the abbreviations and not from the origins. However, this too requires extensive learning, since one who knows from the origin is not like one who knows it from a brief scan of some abbreviation. In order to not err in that, Rabbi Chaim Vital says at the very outset of his words that the soul connects to the body only when it is corrected in the mitzvot of the Torah, in the 613 mitzvot. My commentary. Now let us explain the procedure for studying different aspects of Torah. First, it is necessary to realize that the Hebrew letters were designed and created to transfer metaphysical energy through the human eye. Therefore, study which is memorization is possible without understanding. When this is done, then the letters help to change the soul. This is tikkun, or correction. Now, study when alone does not achieve complete correction. That takes actions of doing mitzvot. Why? Because the body consciousness does not want to do the mitzvot. And the soul learns to be strong enough to overcome this innate laziness, or the desire for the self alone, or both of the body. When a mitzvah is performed lowly shma, then it causes some changes to the soul. This, along with Torah study of the mitzvot, completes the process. And remember, all of this is a function of certainty in the process of change to lishma consciousness. So ultimately, everything depends on consciousness. When one studies Talmud, Rabbi Ashlag explains, it is dry and dull, laws or torts, and such dressed up in the stories of the patriarch and their life experiences. When one studies the Zohar and the Kabbalah, one is dealing with the essence and not the body. The impact of the letters is much more dramatic and efficient on the soul. This applies to all people and all nations. The soul that is a child of Israel needs many more mitzvot of actions. The soul that is a child of the other nations does not need as many actions, but the study is almost the same. The six mitzvot of Noach, like the Esser Dibrot, expand into a significant amount of study of all the mitzvot, except that of the priests and the sacrifices, as taught or spoken about in Leviticus. Section 25, and I think that will be the last one. Now you see how all the questions that we presented in the beginning of the introduction are complete folly. They are the obstacles that the evil inclination spreads in order to hurt innocent souls, to dismiss them from the world, robbed and abused. Examine the first question where they imagine that they can keep the whole Torah without the knowledge of the wisdom of Kabbalah. I say to them, Rabbi Ashlag says to them, indeed, if you can keep the study of the Torah and the observance of the mitzvot appropriately, lishma, meaning only in order to bring contentment to the baker, then indeed you do not need to study Kabbalah. This is because then it is said about you, one soul shall teach him. This is because then all of the secrets of the Torah will appear before you like a lush spring, as in the words of Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah of the Avot, and you will need no assistance from the books. However, if you are still engaged in learning Lo Lishma and hope to merit Lishma by this means, then I ask you, how many years have you been doing so? If you are still within the 5 years, as the Tanakhama says, or within the 3 years, as Rabbi Yossi says, then you can still wait and hope. But if you have been practicing the Torah in Lo Lishma for more than 3 years, as Rabbi Yossi says, and 5 years, as the Tanakhama says, then the Baraita warns you that you will not see a good sign in this path you are treading. Why delude your souls with false hopes when you have such a revere and sure tactic as the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah, as I have shown the reason above, that the study and the issues of the wisdom and the Creator himself are one. My commentary. Unfortunately, there is a significant separation between religious people and spiritual people. A religious person perceives that Hashem commands him, and thereby he lacks the consciousness of Lishma. While he thinks that he is doing these mitzvot for the Creator's sake, remember, command is idol worship, since you are the effect and not the cause. The Satan is the cause of this kind of consciousness and this illusion that lengthens the process. When one starts to study the Zohar, then one is breaking through this illusion and beginning to connect to the consciousness of certainty that will start the transformation from Lo Lishma to Lishma. How can one overcome the question, which is really an excuse, to not study Kabbalah? Never by coercion, never by argument, only by revealing the light of binding by striking. The religious person may live in a community of black hat style dress and be taught to hate anyone who does not follow his path or procedure or prayer and other forms of separation. Yet when the light is revealed by that spiritual person, the klipa that creates the separation can be broken and will be broken by the religious person. This is the meaning of sending love to one who hates you. Our hour is up. Are there any questions? Tomorrow night at 8:30, on the conference call, we have a Rosh Chodesh connection. We have an opportunity to control the month of Elul. We have an opportunity to enhance the positive aspect of Elul and minimize the negative aspect of Elul. Please join us in the conference call at 8:30 tomorrow night. Thursday night at 10 p.m., we have a Zohar study. Or it may be a continuation of the preparation for the holidays, for the holidays of Tishrei. We will also have a Zohar class Saturday night at 10 p.m. 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning, we will be continuing our preparation for the Tishrei holidays. Please come and join us. Are there any questions before I wish you Kodesh Tov and have a beautiful month? Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
You all have a good night, a good month. We're in Kodesh, we're in the new month now. We have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. Our connection will be tomorrow night. But there are certain rituals that can be done. You're starting to get daily emails for those of you who receive the emails. And these emails will help you in many different ways in connecting to how to do Teshuvah, in recognizing the traits that need to be changed. Have a beautiful month.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you.